with the recent mass shootings in El Paso and Dayton, Ohio, mayors across the country have put pressure on the U.S. Senate to take action on federal gun safety legislation. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has announced that the Senate will discuss measures aimed at addressing gun violence in September. To learn more about the issue, I talked with Laura Cuddaletta, Managing Director with the Giffords Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence. Laura, thanks for joining us. I'd like to start off with talking about your organization's mission.
Sure. We're on a mission to save lives from gun violence. We were formed after a shooting at 101 California Street in San Francisco in 1993. That shooting was at a law firm, and this organization was formed as a legal response to the problem of gun violence in America.
Okay, I'd like to talk with you about New Mexico and Texas landing F grades on your annual gun scorecard and how you think that the recent laws passed with New Mexico making all gun sales subject to background checks as well as keeping guns out of the hands of domestic abusers. How do you feel that this can make a difference in preventing gun deaths in the state?
Well, I think, first of all, that New Mexico will move up considerably on our scorecard, where we rank every state every year on their strength of their gun laws, and we compare that to the gun death rate in the states. I think that New Mexico's step in the right direction is going to make a tremendous difference for the people of New Mexico. Background checks are a foundational law that allows other laws to be enforceable. So without background checks, you can't determine who is a felon or who is a domestic abuser or who is perhaps prohibited because of a mental health history. So any of those laws that are on the books really aren't going to be as effective if you don't have a background check to find out who is buying guns and whether they're prohibited or not. Domestic violence, I think, also will have a tremendous impact on gun deaths in New Mexico. Having a gun in a domestic violence incident makes that incident far more likely to end in death. Nearly 50% of New Mexico's intimate partner homicides involve a gun. So by passing laws that will restrict access to guns by domestic abusers, you have the potential to save many, many lives from gun violence.
Obviously, we're talking after the recent mass shooting in El Paso, Texas. You gave Texas an F grade as well. With this incident in mind, what do you think lawmakers need to consider if they're aiming to pass gun legislation?
I think that they need to consider background checks first. I think that would be a very important step in the right direction. But I think they should also look at other things like an extreme risk protection order law, which would provide individuals, family members, law enforcement, the opportunity to go to court and ask for gun access to be removed from a person who is in crisis and potentially dangerous to themselves or others.
I'd like to hear a little bit more about what the facts say. Can you tell me about research that suggests that weak gun laws contribute to more gun deaths?
Absolutely. So we have the scorecard that we have been producing every year since 2010, with the exception of 1 year. And every year we compare the gun laws in every state to their gun death rate. And what we have found year over year is that there is a very strong and obvious correlation between states with strong gun laws and a lower gun death rate, and the converse, states with weak gun laws and a higher gun death rate. And this is something that we have been able to look at as staying the same year over year. So it's not an anomaly or something that only happened one time. It's something that is very, very steady. So that's our data, you know, the correlation we've been able to see. But researchers have done more academic type of studies where they have looked at individual laws to see what impact they have. And the law that I just mentioned, the Extreme Risk Protection Order law, has been studied in both Connecticut and Indiana, where these laws originated. Researchers were able to determine that for every 10 to 20 firearms that were removed under those laws, approximately one life was saved through an averted suicide.
Could you share with me a little bit more about what seems to be working? Is there other legislation that seems to be working, and what states have passed these laws?
Sure. So another important area, and you mentioned it before, is domestic violence. So we know that there have been studies of laws that remove guns from the hands of domestic abusers. And we know that this is very important because so many American women are shot to death every year by intimate partners. Every year, about 600 American women. And of all women shot to death in the U.S., half were shot by their intimate partners. That doesn't include suicides. So there was a study that came out last November, and it showed that broader gun restrictions do lead to fewer intimate partner homicides. That was a study that was done out of Michigan State University. And it looked at firearm restrictions in the states that have them and compared that to intimate partner homicides in those states. And one of the things that the researcher looked at was the types of laws that are in place. And she found that the more comprehensive the law is as far as getting guns away from domestic abusers, the more effective it is. So 29 states have laws restricting firearms in domestic violence cases when a restraining order has been issued, and those laws were linked to a 10% reduction in intimate partner homicides.
We've talked about domestic abuse, and you also just talked about suicide briefly. Is there a correlation between gun legislation and the impact it may have on public health?
Sure. Another example I would give is licensing laws. So licensing laws require a person who wants to purchase a gun or possess a gun to acquire, to obtain a license or a permit for first. And there have been studies on those types of laws and their impact on firearm deaths. So Connecticut has a licensing law on the books, and researchers studied that law and found that Connecticut's firearm homicide rate decreased by 40% after that law was put into effect, and its firearm suicide rate decreased by 15%. And then we have another state that we could use as a contrast. So Missouri had a licensing law that it repealed. And when it repealed that law, its firearm homicide rate increased by 25%, and its firearm suicide rate increased by 16%.
Whenever there is news breaking about mass shootings, always in the aftermath, we hear a great debate on gun control legislation and how to go about it. There are some folks who say that the only thing that could prevent a bad person with a gun is a good person with a gun. Is there any research that can confirm that in places that have more concealed carrying licenses or more people carrying guns, does that make an impact on preventing gun violence or deaths?
So first of all, I would say that if that were true, that the only way to stop the bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun, we would be the safest country in the world because we have more guns in civilian hands than other developed countries, and yet we have the highest gun death rate of all of the developed countries. So we can see that it's not true. But yes, there are also studies showing that this is not true. So there have been claims made that by allowing concealed carry, for example, to be very easy to do and to have very limited and weak restrictions on concealed carry, there would be more vigilante justice. So more people would be able to fight back if they were attacked, or more people would be able to thwart violence before it happens. But actually, people have studied that exact question, and there's no research to suggest that expanding public carry has any public safety benefits, because firearms actually are rarely used successfully in self-defense. And I think a perfect example is that these shootings happened, you know, in Texas and Ohio, two places where open carry is legal, and they happened in places where concealed carry laws are weak, and it is fairly easy to, there's no background checks in these states, so it's easy to obtain a gun, it's easy to carry a gun, And we saw that, you know, unfortunately and tragically, the victims were just as susceptible to this horrible incident as any other in any other state. There's also some research that shows that carrying a firearm may actually increase a victim's risk of firearm injury during the commission of the crime.
Can you tell me a little bit about that research?
It was published in the American Journal of Public Health, and it investigated the link between gun possession and gun assault, and it was written by Charles C. Brannis. And the idea is that sometimes having a gun during an altercation can actually heighten the level of violence, and it kind of increases the potential for violence on both sides, because someone who an attacker who maybe wasn't planning to use lethal violence now has been urged to do so because the victim has a gun.
I want to move on and talk about something pretty current. As we speak, mayors across the country, including El Paso Mayor DeMargo, are calling on Congress to take action and pass gun safety legislation. They're calling on the Senate to take up gun safety legislation. I'd like to kind of hear your thoughts about what is before the Senate right now. Can you share with us how that legislation, what it is, and how it might make a difference?
Sure. So there is a bill that has passed the House, and it was voted on by both Democrats and Republicans. It's H.R. 8. And that bill would require background checks between unlicensed people, which is a loophole that exists right now at the federal level. And that bill is ready to be taken up by the Senate. It's passed through the House and is now languishing until the Senate takes a vote on it. And Gabby Giffords, who was the founder of the organization that we merged with in 2016, called on the Senate very soon after the shootings in El Paso and Dayton, Ohio, to reconvene and to take up this bill. Nothing can happen until the leadership of the Senate calls a vote on this bill. And until then, we are subject to the weak gun laws that we have at the federal level. And really, it's due to a lack of leadership and a lack of action on the part of our elected officials.
Taking a look back at history, is there a correlation of gun safety legislation at the federal level and gun deaths across the country?
Well, I wish I could say that there was a time when we had stricter gun legislation at the federal level. We really have had very little gun laws from the federal level. We had an assault weapon ban in place for 10 years, and it had an expiration sunset clause. And when it expired, Congress refused to reauthorize that ban. So there is some data from that time period, although it's lacking a bit because that law actually, although it was a tremendous victory at the time, it had a lot of loopholes in it by nature of the need to compromise politically and get the bill passed. So it wasn't as effective as it could have been. But there have been some studies analyzing, you know, assault weapon usage during that time, and there was some indication that it was helpful while the ban was in effect. You know, there hasn't been any comprehensive gun safety legislation enacted into law at the federal level.
Okay, Laura, thank you so much for joining us.
Sure, happy to.